Praise the Lord, everyone. It's great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Beautiful worship and covering and protection over the Lord over us. Well, tonight the title is A Sure House, A Sure House. We're going to be turning to a passage of Scripture, 1 Chronicles 17, one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible, but many people don't know it much. And we're going to cover most of the chapter except for a few verses that don't really pertain to the message tonight. Let's begin 1 Chronicles 17 and let's take in the word of the Lord tonight. Now it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, "See now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains." Then Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house." Sometimes we can get ahead of ourselves. We can get ahead of the Lord. "Go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And have made you a name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more, as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Also, I will subdue all your enemies. Furthermore, I tell you that the Lord will build you a house." I tell you that the Lord will build you a house, a family, a future, something lasting in time and everlasting in eternity. We need to be sensitive to the Lord and not be so set on our own ways. We must let the New Testament Nathan, the Holy Spirit, direct us and guide us in how God wants our life to unfold. Maybe sometimes we have desires like David. But the Lord said, "David, I don't want you to do that. I have something else for you. I have something else that I want you to do." The Lord said to David in another scripture, he said, it's a good desire. It's good that you have that desire in your heart to build me a house. But David, that's not what I want you to do. Your son Solomon I will raise up and he will build a house. But I have other things for you to do. Stay close to me. Be sensitive to me. Let me guide you. Don't get caught up in your own desires beyond what I have for you. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to my prophetic voice inside of you. God said, "David, truth is, I want to build you a house. I want to build you a house." He is the master builder. He is the architect of heaven. He wants to build for us, and we have to give him time. Anybody can throw up a shack in a few days. But if you want to build a house, it takes time. And God says, "I want to build you a house. It's going to take some years. It'll take some decades. It'll really take a lifetime with God. Get some footing. Footings. Foundations. God says, I'm building a structure, walls and windows, a roof for a covering over your life. God says, I want to build you a house. I want to build you a family. I want to build you a future. I want to build a ministry into you that will go beyond this world and give you an everlasting reward in heaven. Like David, let's get close to the Lord and let him bless us. Let's draw near to the fire, as we heard tonight. Let's draw near to the fire of God. Get close like David. Get close into the presence of God and hear and be sensitive to what the Lord is saying in our lives. Like David, let's follow the flock. Let's fall in with the people of God. Let's stay close in the church. Beware a private spirit. Beware an independent spirit. Like David, let's become worshipers. Let's become spiritual warriors. And let God take it from there. Verse 16. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord. Went into the tabernacle of David. Sat before the Lord and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, my family, that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have regarded me according to the rank of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What more can David say to you for the honor of your servant? For you know your servant, O Lord. You know me. You know my struggles. You know my misgivings. You know my tossings and turnings. You know the things that plague me sometimes, things that work in my heart. He said, God, you know all about me, and yet such honor. For you know your servant, O Lord. Then he said, For your servant's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness in making known all these great things. Listen to those words. O Lord, for your servant's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness. There are two reasons why the blessing of God comes upon people, upon our lives. One, for the servant's sake, for God's servant's sake, and according to his own heart. There are two reasons that we get blessed. One, because God is good, and second, because he wants to do us good. For your servant's sake, and according to your own heart. Psalm 119, verse 68, you are good and do good. You are good and do good. Psalm 31, 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Oh, how great is your goodness, Lord, which you have laid up for those who fear you. The blessing of the Lord comes. Two reasons, said David. Number one tonight, for your servant's sake. Why does God bring blessing? Why does God work in our lives with such an awesome plan and desire, such intent? One, for our sake. For our sake. Verse 19 again, O Lord, for your servant's sake, you have done all this greatness. God working for us. God coming to minister to our lives, to build something of worth, to give us some wonderful things in this life, to care for us, to walk with us, to raise us up. Acts 3:26, the scripture says, to you first. God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities, from your stubbornness, your rebellion, your lawlessness, your ungodly life. God sent Jesus to bless us. He said, first, I'm going to deal with that old creation. I'm going to deal with that sinful propensity and that old man in you, that carnal life. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to make you a new creation. And then I'm going to just keep on pouring out my blessing as you walk close to me. God sent his son to bless us. Jeremiah 29:11-14, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. God says, I have plans, I have thoughts for my people, for every individual, every young person, every adult. I want to give a future, an expectation, a hope, a reward, something lasting. God says, I need my people to come and call upon me and pray to me. And he said, when my people will seek me with all their heart, they will find me. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. There isn't one of us who wasn't brought out of captivity to sinful flesh, to the fallen nature, to our old life. And perhaps there are still some lingering captivities in our lives. God says, if you will seek me with all your heart, I will turn those captivities and I will lead you out into my goodness. Psalm 139:17-18, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. This is God speaking to us. He says, I want to work. God, why are you blessing us? For your sake, for my servant's sake. I want my people to walk in my victory and joy and blessing and fruitfulness and future. Oh, Lord, how great is the sum of your thoughts. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake in the morning, I am still with you. One translation says, God, when I awake, you're still thinking of me. You've been thinking of me all night long. And the dew of heaven has been laying on the branches of my life. And all night long, while his beloved sleep, Psalm 127, God's gifts are given. God is seeking to work good, seeking to work good. So we're sensitive to the Lord. We walk with him. Even the dealings of God in our life, let's be honest, even testings and trials are working together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So let's set our hearts to the Lord. One thing we know tonight, God is good. And he wants to bless his people. We get blessed because God is good and because he wants to do us good. David, I will build you a sure house. I will build you a sure house. Number two, why do we get blessed? According to God's own heart, because that's how God is. That is the heart of God. Oh Lord, for your servant's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness in making known all these great things, David says to me, to my family, to be so blessed of God, to be led so beautifully in life by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, to be a part of the people of God, to have vision, to have God's Word. You know, without God's Word, we have nothing, we are nothing, and we know nothing. He's come. He's come because he loves people. And he's come because that's how he is. That's who he is. He said, according to my heart, I want to lift people. I want to help them. I want to bless them. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And look at this beautiful scripture in Acts 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Doing good and healing all who were oppressed, that is, beaten down by the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What's the Father like? What is his heart like? According to your heart, O God. He says, I'm down in the earth. I'm doing good. And I'm bringing healing and strength. And I'm breaking enemy powers. And I'm releasing my people to walk in the kingdom of God, in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. God gets blamed for a lot of things for which he has no responsibility. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Is this what God is like? No shadow, no twisting and turning in him. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. The blessing of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord. God is working good. He said, that's my heart for people. I want to help them through life. I want to help them manage every situation. I want to lead them. I want to build with them. God is good. And God is just. He's just because he is good. And he is good because he is just. His justice flows out of his goodness. God is good and God is just. Because there's not a person here who likes theft and fraud and hatred and strife and crime. God is just. He will judge those things. And because he does, it's a sign of his goodness. But God wants to be known for his goodness, not his judgment. In fact, he calls his judgments against sin, and when he has to intervene because things have gone too far, he says, that's my strange work. That's not really how I want to be. That's not what I want to do. He says, that's my strange work. He said, my real work, my true work is to bring blessing, to bring strength, to bring kindness, to bring stability, to bring a future. Exodus 30, verses 18 and 19. Moses said, Lord, please show me your glory, your presence, the kabod, who you are like. Please show me your glory. Then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of Jehovah, the Lord, before you. I'm Jehovah Jireh, and I'm Jehovah Nissi, and I'm Jehovah Shammah, and I'm Jehovah Rohi. I will proclaim my name before you. That's what I want to be. That's who I am to my people. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Those that surrender, those that fear me, they will know my goodness. They will know my graciousness. They will know my compassion. I will work in them and walk with them and guide them and lead them through their life's end. and receive them into glory. David had two responses. There's only two responses to what God's done in my life, God building a sure house. One was worship, and the other was prayer. In 1 Chronicles 17, this is how David responded to the goodness of the Lord. He responded in worship, and he responded in prayer. Let's look at the scripture. 1 Chronicles 17, 20 to 22. First, the worship. O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on the earth, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for yourself a name by great and awesome deeds, by driving out nations from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. David said, I'm here, I'm pouring out worship. I'm getting into the tabernacle, and I'm going to worship God. I'm going to bless the Lord. How can people not praise him for his goodness? How can God's people not rejoice and praise the Lord with a loud voice and with rejoicing and magnifying his name for all he has done? How can we not enter his courts and bless his name and shout to our king and rejoice in his presence and his goodness? David said, God, wow, for your servant's sake and because of your own heart, you have worked like this for me. Here's my worship, O Lord. And then second, he said, Lord, I'm bringing you my prayers. 1 Chronicles 17, 23 to 27. And now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, let it be established forever. And do as you have said. So let it be established that your name may be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is Israel's God. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build him a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray before you. And now, Lord, you are God, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you have blessed it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. Hallelujah. If you don't know how to pray, start praying that. Lord, I'm taking up this prayer. Lord, bless the house of your servant that it may continue before you forever. For you have blessed it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. Start saying, God, do as you have said. Lord, all the word you've spoken over me, over my life, over my children, over my family. Lord, I don't even know what to pray. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to speak in other tongues, because he that speaks in tongues speaks divine secrets and mysteries that God will yet reveal in the days to come. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit-led prayers. Let intercessions rise and fall in you like birth pangs of what God is creating. Do as you have said, Lord. I don't know where you're leading me. I really can't see it all. Can't see much of it, in fact. But you're leading me, Lord, and I will pray. Do as you have said, Lord, over my children, over my family. Do as you have said, Lord. Establish your house. Establish your kingdom. Establish your ways. David said, I'm going to worship, and I'm going to pray. Let's have the worship ministry come. Let's close out with this beautiful scripture in 2 Samuel 23, 5. David said, is it not my family God has chosen? Yes, he has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and success. NLT. RSV. Yea, does not my house stand so with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. For will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? That's our Lord. According to your faith, be it unto you tonight. Let's receive these words. Let's receive what the Lord did with David. I'm going to build you a sure house. You know, in the companion passage to 1 Chronicles 17, 2 Samuel 7, which is really a reiteration, but there is a few little differences in there. In 2 Samuel 7, David said to the Lord, after God said, this is what I'm going to do for you, and I'm going to build your future, and the years are going to unfold in the blessing of God. I'm going to guide you and build you a sure house. David said, Lord, is this the manner of man, O God? Meaning, is this how you treat people? God said, yes, that's how I treat people. That's how I treat people.